Now with more of Lake Effect, I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. There are two groups of Milwaukee filmmakers in Utah this weekend, premiering their films at the Sundance Film Festival. We'll hear about both films in the coming minutes. Filmmakers Brad Lichtenstein, Jeff Fitzsimmons, and Maddie Power are all part of the production company called Custom Reality Services.
Their latest project is a short documentary that combines sports, social justice, history, and virtual reality. The short film is called Ash 68 and is about a pivotal moment in the life of tennis great Arthur Ashe. The three filmmakers joined us before they left for Sundance. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Why is now the time, or really last year the time, to do a film about Arthur Ashe?
Sure. Well, one of the things that is so relevant today about Arthur Ashe's story is sports and activism, that we live in a day and age where we are still debating whether or not Colin Kaepernick taking a knee is something that the NFL should be able to control or not, and what that means in the context of the struggle against racism. And that struggle is surprisingly, or maybe not so surprisingly, very similar to that struggle in 1968.
So if that is why now, why is VR the way to tell the story?
Well, it's a great way to tell the story because it gives you an environment that is much more immersive than a traditional media experience. So by having a 360-degree palette to work with, we can engage your senses and engage your physical movement in a way that is really exciting and makes you feel like you're there. And part of the goal with Ash 68 was to take you to the day that he won the U.S. Open and kind of put you right there next to him as this important thing is happening.
One of our goals, too, is to reach young people. And VR is a technology that is very readily accessible to young people. And a lot of young people don't know the story of Arthur Ashe at all.
Well, and in a lot of ways, this seems almost like a primer, an introduction to get people to spend more time with his story.
Yeah. I mean, when we premiered at the U.S. Open, we had a ton of young people come in who had never heard of Arthur Ashe, but just knew that there was a stadium named after him. One boy thought he was an old, white, rich man who, after seeing the VR experience, were like, yeah, I'm going to go and read about Arthur Ashe, you know. Especially it's touching when it's, you know, young people of color.
Well, and so how did you arrive at sort of what corner of the story to tell?
Well, the moment that he wins the U.S. Open, it gives him a platform to then be able to advocate for social justice. And Arthur Ashe understood that. He actually said at one point that he had to keep winning. He had to stay in the game in order for his voice to be heard. So that's the moment that we focus on, is when he inherits that – well, I shouldn't say inherits – when he deservingly wins that platform.
What did you take from the experience of screening it for the people who got to see it at the U.S. Open?
I'm sure we all have stories. One story I'll tell is when we were screening at the U.S. Open, there was a man who came in, I don't know, maybe in his late 60s. And afterwards, I noticed that he was visibly upset. Something had made him very emotional, and I was not revealing to people that I was one of the filmmakers, so because I was curious what the audience thought. So I came up to him and just said, I see that the film really affected you. Do you mind sharing with me? And he started to say something, and then he began to cry, and then he walked out. So I hesitated for a minute and then decided I would walk out after him and introduce myself as a filmmaker, and then we started talking. It turned out that he was and is the UCLA girls team, women's team tennis coach, and that he has been doing that for many, many decades. And it wasn't until this year that he had more than one black tennis player on his team, and that all these years that's been his goal is to really, you know, increase the inclusion of that sport, and that he always had Arthur Ashe's portrait up above his desk, and that he knew Arthur Ashe. Arthur Ashe was a mentor of his. And so for him, it brought all that kind of right up to the surface for him. And then he also said this very kind thing, which is that if Arthur were alive, he would have loved this, which pretty much slayed me right there. But that's the kind of experience that makes you feel like it was worth making the project.
You mentioned the advantages of telling it in this immersive format. At the same time, what were the challenges in being able to do that?
Lots of challenges. So one overall challenge, I think, is that VR and telling stories in VR, there's just not really a framework for that yet or a direct path. You know, VR filmmakers, we're all figuring this out as we go on. So,
what does that mean? From a practical sense, when you're a filmmaker but you're doing it in this new way, what's the difference in being able to tell a story in VR versus, you know, I guess the traditional or linear or whatever
flat
the
film.
Flat film way
sure.
is.
Sure, flatty is what we call it. Well, I think one thing is utilizing this 360 space and how to make that interesting. And I think as a filmmaker in VR, especially if you come from traditional film, you're letting go of a lot of agency where you get to pick where the audience is looking. So in VR, obviously, somebody can look all over the place. So
yeah, when I watched it, you made sure to remind me to look all over the place as mm-hmm. as I was watching this film.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So with that, you know, it's a creative path. You're trying to figure out how to make that interesting. One specific example, I think, is the hallway scene where you're following Arthur, a young Arthur, down the hallway of the West Side Tennis Club. And depending on where you look, you see a different reaction to his presence in that club. So, you know, you can look to the right and you see an older couple kind of lean over and gawk at him. Or you can look to the left and there's two young girls kind of protecting themselves. Or behind you where, like, the security guard is just kind of closely watching him.
Right, staring dagger eyes into his back, basically.
Sure.
Right. And from a practical standpoint, you know, with a traditional film, you set up the shot that you're intending to get, and then the rest of the crew hides behind the camera, and you work that way. But with this type of 360 filmmaking, a lot of times, especially that hallway scene, for example, you're seeing everything at the same time. And so you have to construct the scenario to accommodate the fact that the crew can't be anywhere around or is monitoring it remotely, which provides challenges for the director to make sure that you got the performance you're looking for and that kind of thing.
Right. So, from a practical standpoint, is there a physical camera person who is shooting this, and that's the only person who is invisible in the scene?
So she's actually – first of all, her name is Eve Cohen. She's amazing. She is actually setting up the scene, and then also she walks away in the scenes that we shot 360 at once. We also shot some of the scenes nodally, which means we pointed in one direction, got everything, and then turned around and got everything in the other direction.
And they're stitched together.
Exactly. So like the scene on the court when Arthur wins match point, that was shot in this kind of way. And so she and us, we were all on one side of the camera. But it still presents a lot of challenges, like making sure that those two shots are going to stitch together. And we shot that scene also to incorporate the sand animation. So
I was going to ask where the animation comes in this.
So the animation was done by two women, Masha and Rua, who live in Northern California, teach at CalArts, and are two of the only people on Earth who do sand animation, as it turns out. Something we really wanted to represent backstory and also to sort of represent the inner space of Arthur's mind. And they created, I believe, 4,700 plus frames to do that animation. They did it on a light table, which actually I will toss to Jeff to describe.
Sure. So this type of animation had been done before, and we were noticing early on in the project that we wanted something that was very tactile. And a lot of the animation that you're seeing in VR now has this kind of tilt brushy feel. It's all very similar. So we went to this technique.
Tilt brush, by the way, is a program that people use in VR to basically paint or write or create images.
Yeah, and so a lot of the animation styles look very similar, and we wanted something different. And Brad identified this this short piece of this type of animation that is sand. So they'll do a sand painting on a light table, take a photograph, move it a little bit, take another photograph. Very tedious, but it has a very granular and tactile feel to it. So we identified Masha and Rua, and the problem is that the people who had been shooting this were shooting on platforms that were like 18-inch squares, and that was still taking a tremendous amount of time. And when we started to calculate the resolution that we needed to go 360, we realized we needed something much, much bigger. So I flew out to their studio and built a light table that was 2 feet by 5 feet, and they were creating images that were 2 feet by 5 feet for each frame. So the amount of work that they put into this over the year that we were producing this was extraordinary.
It took them 8 months to do all the animation.
So you're about to have the official premiere of this at Sundance, and having being filmmakers and being at a traditional premiere when everybody's looking at the same thing in the same way on the same screen, what is it like to see an audience of people who are all experiencing the same thing in different ways and ways that you can't really necessarily tell until it's over?
Ask us when we get back.
I mean, are you going to have a room full of people with these headsets?
Yeah.
On?
Yeah.
We did with our other piece, they did something similar at the Future of Storytelling in New York where they had this was a rudimentary version of synchronized VR. And the other piece that we were showing was supposed to be a volumetric experience, which means that you can walk around in it. But we created a 360 version specifically for this screening. And so, yeah, they put headsets on 30 people on swivel chairs, and then they used a laptop to trigger them all at the same time. And it was kind of interesting seeing everybody sort of rotate their chair at the same time and spin all the way around. So it's kind of like watching people.
Unlike watching a tennis match.
Exactly. Only it's right. All around them.
Synchronized watching.
Mm-hmm. So I'm anticipating it's going to be something like that. But, you know, the experience of showing these VR pieces to someone one at a time, like even at the U.S. Open, it was really great to be the one to actually put it on their heads and then be there when they take it off, because you're getting each person's individual reaction right at the time that they've just experienced it. So the feedback is extraordinary, and that kind of one-on-one interaction is pretty exciting.
Congratulations to all of you, and best of luck with us at Sundance.
Thank you.
Jeff Fitzsimmons, Brad Lichtenstein, and Maddie Power are three of the filmmakers behind the virtual reality short film Ash 68, which premieres Saturday at the Sundance Film Festival. You'll find a link to more about it at wuwm.com.